The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
What's our name?
We're men! Yes. Men on the
Mission! Are you ready?
We're men!
Here we go!
Men on the Mission!
The Huntsmen! Men on the Mission! Bam, bang, boom! Here we go!
Welcome to the New Gen on Mission podcast and North South Connection. I'm Tim Slomka.
I'm JP.
Thanks for joining us again. As always, you're on the journey to relive the new generation era, to find the best and some of the worst of a wrestling time period often forgotten. Bret and Shawn Survivor Series 92 to Bret and Shawn Survivor Series 97, we look beyond the TV, beyond the pay-per-views, examine the weekly TV, see what worked, what could have worked, and what failed. JP, how's life?
Man, it's pretty good, man. This is one of the peak seasons of sports right now, so...
Yes.
It sucks that Illinois doesn't play until like 10 o'clock Eastern. So
yeah, I'm not an Illinois fan. So
I know I am.
My wife went there. So
See, you know what? You're just a shit husband then. Like, you should be supporting them.
She doesn't even know sometimes.
Well, so, is your team going to choke tomorrow or?
We're going to go to the game.
Oh, really?
My kids have no school tomorrow, so it's kind of
they're starting
spring break. So we kind of said, you know, we're not doing anything this weekend because of the Easter holiday. And so I was like, you know what? Let's do something to kind of do a mini spring break. So we're just going up for one. It's just Detroit, so it's only a 4-hour.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun to go. I've been to the opening round, but never to the Sweet 16. So this will be fun.
Well, I actually put money on them to win the whole thing. So kidding aside, I think this is their year.
There you go.
Well, they're Virginia, right?
Yeah, right. I know.
If they follow Virginia's path, they lose the first round and come back with a vengeance. So,
and I think a lot of teams have had that happen, right? Just on, maybe not college basketball, the 16-1, but you got to sometimes lose first to come back. So we'll see. I'm just not the biggest Painter fan. He's a good coach, but I don't know if he's a championship type coach. So,
We had that. Illinois had that for a while with Weber. He was kind of the same way.
Right, yeah. The good coach, like, he's obviously done a lot for the program, but that, you know, that echelons that some of these guys just kind of have.
Yep.
Like, Bochy, as I'm watching on the Cubs game right now. I mean, just like something he does, right?
Exactly.
He's nothing spectacular, but yet he keeps just plopping down titles. So, there's a lot of those guys. Should we move on to some wrestling? The real sport.
The real sport.
As we get into, before that, too, we won't record again before WrestleMania. So any thoughts on WrestleMania 40?
You have to tell me who's wrestling.
The Rock, and King Kong Bundy, I think.
Right. I watch it every year. I know it turned into a tag now, right? The Rock and Roman.
I think there's
Cody and Seth.
I think there's two nights of it. I think they're fighting.
Yeah.
It's twice, but the double's good. Like, it definitely adds to it, but you know, you don't have the 6-hour, 7-hour manias. But it does kind of lead to like the anticlimactic, a little bit of like one big main event. But I think, you know, it probably helps out people going too, right? Like, hey, I can just go to one night. It's not so overpriced, but there's a tag match one night and then a singles match the next night. But
yeah, I look forward to it. Even if WrestleMania sucks, it's still fun to watch. Like, it's fun to like be excited about something like that. And I don't know. I don't follow it week to week, obviously. I just watch like Rumble, Mania, and then maybe a few other shows, but I'll be excited. Hopefully Gunther is wrestling someone worthwhile.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who he's even against, but I'm definitely just not the person to tell you anything about. I've seen The Rock. I've seen like a lot of the good stuff he's been doing. I like that. But I just feel like that could be a temporary thing. It's not really going to do anything business wise long term, but
who knows? Yeah, I do not watch a lot week to week, but I have been the past couple of weeks. Just
what did it for you? What made you stop watching week to week?
It was too much. The three hour commitment, and the same with then Friday night SmackDown. It just wasn't in it. Like, I can't with my wife be like, hey, I'm going to watch Raw for 3 hours here, 5 hours. It wasn't worth it. So I just lost it. I don't think the product like disappeared. Like, I don't think that's worse. Like, when I do watch it, but it's just too much. Right.
Well, it's like, you have so much bandwidth, right? So you watch like the new gen stuff for a podcast. So you got to dedicate time to that. Then like NFL season comes around and it's like strictly football for me. So I wouldn't even bother watching it if I was into it. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's hard. I feel like old and washed and like get off my lawn type, but I'm not. Yeah. I'm not like that. Like, I just don't have time to watch it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I don't. There's nothing bad when I watch it or watch the pay per views or something. Like, oh, they've been really good. You know, Rumble,
right,
things like that. Like, I always enjoy them, but I just can't get back into like, okay, I'm going to get invested in this. So,
I want to. I always want to, but I can't do it.
But and I also like with this time of season, I've been watching a lot of old wrestling. That's probably my problem is I'm rewatching WrestleMania 7, Dino Bravo, Texas Tornado to really catch up, you know, instead of spending some real good in quality matches. So, but I like that too. Just the kind of old WrestleManias. I fall asleep a lot of them to my DVD, just playing in the background. And something with the nostalgia.
The network probably inadvertently killed a lot of the current product for some people. You know?
Yeah. It'd be cool. If my kids get a little older, I think my son definitely is into wrestling a little bit. He's just too little to kind of week to week. So I definitely think that'll help too. So, but yeah, listen to the pods on Ryan and JT are doing the countdown of greatest match ever. Me and you talked about how I did one for Owen Hart on, the greatest wrestler
performers.
Ever. So I like some of, I definitely just gets exciting Mania season. So
exactly.
always enjoy that. So let's move on to some opposite end of the spectrum, the Survivor Series 1994 and the Doington Dink connection. So we're going to start off with two superstars with a Raw, and we're going to do an Action Zone, the first ever Action Zone. So we're kind of a little bit different this week. We thought the first couple Action Zones at least have some good marquee matchups that we would add in. So we're going to Poughkeepsie, New York. They love taping here for superstars. Back at September 25th, this is the first one there, so it's pretty fresh. Action they're gonna have here. I think they're gonna really start setting up Survivor Series throughout this first superstar. So first we get Shawn and Diesel as a tag team. They really start going. Vince really starts picking up on there's ascension in between the two of them, which we haven't seen. I mean, maybe it's on Wrestling Challenge or something, but like they're talking up all this dissension, so they're really planting the seeds that this team is not going to make it longer, which is cool foreshadowing. It would just be nice to see something actually happen versus just talking about it, because it's kind of planned. And then at the end of the match, they win. Diesel looks like this the strong guy versus Shawn. Shawn Michaels stands on top of the jobber, which just has to hurt to look as tall as Diesel. So it's a pretty cool visual, like when you see Shawn stepping on top of him. But that plays a little bit into their dissension, but it was kind of nothing. Random squash match, and I think just really, again, trying to show them as a super team and showing Diesel taking over, which we'll see, time and time again, that Diesel kind of does all the work in a match, and then Shawn will get the pin.
Right.
Good. If you have,
So I'm really starting to like them as a unit. So it sucks that it's kind of going to start coming off. And this is like my favorite era of Shawn coming up, like the bearded era of Shawn, like 95. Shawn Michaels is probably my favorite. Shawn Michaels, maybe 97 as well. But there's a nasty jackknife in this, and Shawn, like you said, standing on the jobber probably hurt more than the jackknife itself.
Yeah. You can't fake that. It looked like it hurts. Someone said your belly.
But you're right. Like, they're not showing dissension in the ring. I don't know. I don't know if it's because, like, there's so many tapings and different things going on that they're just kind of lose track of what they've actually shown on TV.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it. And then we also have a Charlie Min cut in.
Oh, I have the same note.
And I was like, what the fuck? Where did this come? I remember the first, I was watching when Action Zone first started. I did not remember this guy at all. Not one bit. I was watching this episode of Superstars, laying back watching it. And he popped up and I was like, are they having I swear this is exactly what I thought. Are they having a Japanese correspondent talking about Yoko? What is this? Are they talking to him? And then I'm like, oh, this is Charlie Min.
This is
his debut. Exactly. I was like, what the hell? So yeah, I did not remember him at all. So that was pretty weird. And then we do get like a live event news with him as well. So like my note was, nah, give me Todd Pettengill back. Like I'm not happy with this right now. They go to Paul Bearer and he is just like, he is on one. He is in full character. He's full Paul Bearer. Like, this is, he's just going overboard with his voice and his acting and everything. So, I don't really like this Min character so far.
Yeah.
It's just not going to do it for me. I don't know how long he stays. It can't be that long.
Yeah, I'm not, I actually was going to put that. Like, how long does he stay? I know we don't really have that gimmick in ours, but like they do in Warzone of like, how long does this stay? This could be one that by November he's gone. So we'll see.
I don't think he makes it to 95 because I've, like, in recent years, I've watched almost all of 95 and I do not remember seeing him at all. So I don't think he's hit. I don't think he's there.
Yeah, we'll see. He's definitely over the top. I get why you have to be over the top.
Yeah.
You know, in your first time, like, you can't just be bland. I think that he's trying very hard. So I like that. But yeah, this is something.
I don't get why they need him though. You have Todd Pettengill for that.
Yeah. So who's the best at it? We know, right? Yeah. So, right. Yeah. They're, I guess, just trying to add another voice, maybe like, I don't know if Todd really goes to tapings because I know Charlie's on the Action Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I wonder if they were like, hey, let's use him going, you know, coast to coast and try using him on the thing. And Todd's going to be, because I think Todd might even still have his radio show. I'm not certain.
Yeah, but you might be right.
Yeah, so he definitely, we haven't seen him like at Raws and stuff. So maybe they were just adding a guy to be there live and pump up the crowd. So who knows?
That's fair.
But you want to go to your next match?
Yeah. Yeah. So we get a Bob Holly squash next. Yes. So just a heads up to anyone listening, there will be a ton of squashes in this run for whatever reason. He has a new look in this match. He kind of ditched the neon colors for a black and pink, like he's stealing Brett's kind of gimmick here. So that was kind of weird to see him come out with like the all black tights.
Well, I was going to say, has he, real quick, has he been called Bob Holly? Like, is this his first time or is it?
No, last set of tapings, he was called Bob. Oh, well, you know what? He was called Bob Sparkplug Holly is what he was called last set of taping. So I think that's when they officially,
Thurman's gone.
Yep. So I don't know what, if Bob is short for Thurman somewhere.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Along the lines, but, that's not something I ever heard growing up.
Yes.
Then we also get, Vince McMahon with Arnold Skolin. So this was pretty cool. So, like, these are the kind of, like, legend guys I like seeing in this era because it's not, like, the era removed. It's the era before the era removed. Like, it's, you know, Arnie Skolland and when they had Chief J. Strongbow on there. Like, that kind of era of guys. Because they're kind of new to the audience, but you kind of, like, respect them as a legend when you're watching it. It's not just, like, a washed guy. It's, like, a true legend being so far removed. So this go over like the towel throwing incident with the Iron Sheik, like him having to throw in the towel, which like infuriates Backlund and causes him to come out. And Backlund is just so great.
Oh, he's over the top.
Unhinged. Yep. Oh, he's so over the top in a good way. Like
And
he just attacks Skolin, and it's just this segment was so good. Like this is like perfect storytelling too because it sets up the best. You know, the match perfectly. Like, if you know already what happens, it spoils it for you. But if you don't, it's great because you don't really see it coming. They just play into the story so well. And I just think, like, Vince does really good here, too. Like, he's really disgusted, you know, and he gets all loud and animated and everything. So, just a really good segment in a mix of squashes that we're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple things from it. I think, like, Skolin kind of has this, like, old grandpa talk to him. He's very, very just, like, by the book.
Yeah,
so you're kind of, like, matter of fact, and you kind of respect this old man. And then Backlund just goes off on him, refusing to shake his hand, right, which we've seen. That's Backlund's thing, like, all right, don't not shake his hand, and just kind of going off on him. So, again, it's kind of like, oh, the poor little grandpa they're picking on. Like, Skolin doesn't try fighting him at all. Like, he just kind of, like, takes it. But it's not like he's a pussy of it because he's this old man, you know, I've been through the wars of wrestling type feeling. Then, like, all right, I can't take this. So I thought that was a really good segment. I definitely remember this. You know, interesting they kind of brought him in. Like, we've never seen him before, I don't think. But he's clearly been brought in for this segment. So I don't know if he'll stay at all or this is a kind of one weekend taping and done. So I thought this really solid segment and really starts building up Backlund again. It's just this crazy lunatic that's gonna, doesn't matter who he's gonna do, right? He's done the magazine reporter, he's done now this guy, and he'll do another guy later. Just he's gonna take anyone out to get this title back. So then we get Doink and Dink No, we got a lot of doing. If you thought it was a squash match, is our second favorite thing on this episode. So we doink and dink. So we get doink out. The crowd's my point. Crowd's still really into him. I actually like the way Doink after the match announces that he's got Wink, his new after we saw Queasy last week. He's bringing out Wink, and Doink, the way Doink laughs is amazing. I actually really like Doink's laugh. Like, he does it so well. It's definitely very comical, but overall, this segment was rough. The crowd, I think, is into it, but you just kind of see where this is going. This guy, I'm going to bring out this guy next week, this guy. So pretty definitely into it. And, I don't know what they were going for besides just setting up a Survivor Series match. Like, it doesn't seem, it serves no purpose besides kind of that.
Well, that seems to be like my main problem with Survivor Series right now. Other than the character work of Backlund, the build has been pretty bad for the show. Like, there's not really anything
that
draws your attention. Like, as of right now, there's nothing that makes you want to get Survivor Series as of this show.
And I know Dink is a good wrestler, so why not just have him, Dink and Doink, kind of like they did it at Mania 10, right? Have one versus making this like a pure comedy like stretch match. I think you could have made it a lot better because, again, I don't know each of these guys, their actual wrestling ability, but it's they're playing it off as comedy. So then we get a clip of Action Zone, or just say that Action Zone's next weekend. So big on that. We get an Owen Hart squash, pretty standard, and then a Luger squash. So back to back quick squashes, just kind of, Luger, they talk about how he's going to get back at DiBiase. He's still using the torture wrench, which is just weird. I can't believe he's still using that. I thought that was only a WCW move, so kind of unique to see him on that. But you want to get Yoko then to finish
up? Yeah, so we get big segments. We get a Yoko squash, which ends with Bear bringing like the casket out to freak out Yoko. This is like another part of the build that I think is just kind of, it's starting to become a little monotonous. Like, it's, I get he's scared of caskets, but they feuded before already. So it just doesn't get, I don't know. It's almost like a hard reset where they're just kind of trying to start the feud all over again with this. It's still entertaining because Yoko's really animated, and for like a big serious guy that like just goes out and squashes people, to see him, bounce around and get all scared like he does is still pretty entertaining. But I'd like to see like a different layer of it at least. So then we also get to close out the show. We get Bob Holly challenging Bob Backlund pretty much, and he is not very good at the promos here. He's a little nervous. He's kind of, marble mouthed a little bit, I guess. But I don't know if it's just his southern drawl, but he plays a good babyface. Like, I like him as the worker, like a babyface worker. He plays that pretty well, and he fires up really well. But the promos just aren't there yet. He kind of reminds me of like a poor man's Brad Armstrong, like the WF version of Brad Armstrong right now. Not as good of a worker, but just that kind of character, I guess.
Yeah, his promos are, I think he's very similar also to like Billy and Bart Gunn.
they're
kind of in the same, like, just not good at promos. So, which is just so key of this era at the time. I did want to mention the Yoko, like Yoko is really rough, like walking to the ring, like there's steps he has to walk over, and you could see he's just like struggling to get on the steps. So he's clearly just putting on weight at a large, quick scale that you just tell he's just like struggling to get up there. And then it's weird how Undertaker during this feud, like I thought the segment was actually cool with Bear opening up the casket, but it's just so weird that Undertaker just had 6 months off, and yet we still rarely see him on TV. Like, wouldn't that be cool for him just to be in the casket or be in the ring? Like, it's just so weird. Like, why is he not more on TV? Given he had time, just had time off, right? Like, he should be everywhere. So it's really weird that he's not involved more in this. That was my comments. Move on to Raw. Anything else you want to add? All right, so we got Raw. We're gonna get a live one, so we're gonna get pumped up. So this is gonna be usually the better Raws are these live ones.
Mm-hmm.
This could be October 17th. Interesting, Macho is still here. So I would have actually, when I saw that it was gonna be live, I thought maybe Macho would be gone. And we start with our boys, Doink and Dink again. And they're going to fight Double J. So this is a feud that we loved, right, when Double J played the pranks on Doink. We thought it was really building up to something. And I'm guessing it was a house show feud, but we kind of seen nothing of it. And then just randomly, they show up here. They really don't show highlights of the feud. So really kind of dumb of that. I really still don't like that. And we get, again, Doink with a huge pop. Double J, okay pop, I think, of like the booze, but... the way it compared him to what the heat Lawler gets when he comes out for this match is just crazy. We get I do mention that the crowd is nuts for this doing a couple things, but Vince and Macho are just over the top with short problem. He can't get up there. He can't get to the ring. He can't see anything. Like, there's so many short jokes against Queasy and Dink. Of course, King comes down. It's aiming in a match, but King comes down at the end to shove. Doink does a huge whoopee cushion. The refs are distracted by the little guys outside running around. And so, of course, King hits Doink with an elbow, like the weakest little punch ever. That knocks Doink out, and Double J gets the win. It makes Double J look rough.
Yeah.
Of putting this guy, especially because he's like feuded with him. So you think like he could have done something with King, like a chair or something, just something to make him look strong. Like, why would he do a roll up at a guy that's, been really pushing him really hard. That would have been really rough. And then we also get the appearance post-match. Now we have Queasy and we also get Sleazy. So, the big reveal.
Right, we know where this is going, obviously. So I'm trying to take like the piss out of it, I guess you could say, and just say like this is just a mockery kind of thing, and just take it as that, comedy wise. And
yeah,
it's a little funny. It's not very good as far as in ring goes. Like, this match sucked. This was too much. Jarrett versus Doink, we've seen them in better things, better angles, better matches. So this was a little let down. And Doink also had the short fro going on here, so that looked kind of weird.
You're spending right. You said little and short, so you're all Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon's all about you. Right. Rubbed off on you.
Yeah. So yeah, that yeah, and kudos to you for keeping up with the names of all these guys too. Like, I'm just believing in you that it's Sleazy and whoever else. Like, I had no clue. I started losing track. I'm like, these guys are just.
I actually think when King introduces him, he calls him the wrong name. I'm pretty sure he says the wrong name when he introduces him on the mic, because he's trying to name them all, and I think he says the wrong name.
Well, that would make two of us, because I have no clue which ones are who. I'm like, man, they call them midget wrestlers, and they prefer to be called that, but then I can't call them that. Like, it's just,
yeah.
I don't know. I have a hard time keeping up with all of it. And like, I've been putting my note, like, Lawler's minions come out, but then I'm like, shit, I'm calling them minions. I didn't mean it like that. Like, I'm like, damn. You just can't win with this one.
This would have been way easier to say in 94 podcast.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Go back in time.
Like, please don't cancel me, anybody. Like, not that there's anything to cancel, but it's not meant maliciously. It's just I'm trying to make it more entertaining than what it actually was, I guess. So yeah. So from that we get a bulldog squash. Standard squash. I actually am loving having Bulldog back in the promotion.
Yes.
I don't know. He's just a WWF guy for me. Like, him being in WCW is so weird. He just didn't really fit there. Just love having him around. And then we get Backlund coming out, shitting on Scullin. Like, this was awesome. So he's like just going off. Like, his tangents are so real. And it's like, I mentioned like before, like, it kind of compared it right to Censor, and here it definitely feels like, because he's saying that,
yeah,
he's never eaten marijuana.
Yep.
So I mean, that's a new one, right?
Amazing. Yes.
I'm pretty sure you get terribly sick from that. And he's never sworn in front of his children. So like that was one that's like that he probably purposely tried to hit people like they are watching at home, like, if especially if they're watching their kids are probably looking back like, yeah, that, he's talking about you, you know, like,
yeah,
because you know a lot of people have done that. I mean, I'm guilty of it a lot. So yeah, that just the way he goes off is awesome. And then Luger comes down to confront him, and I don't like this pairing. I don't like the Luger trying to be like the hero, because he's not as proficient with his words. Like, he's not like very articulate, so he sounds like a goof compared to Backlund. Like,
yeah,
Backlund just schools him on that, and it just doesn't come off good for Luger.
Well, it doesn't make sense for the Luger character of what he's been doing, right? He's been fighting with Million Dollar Man, he's been Mr. USA, and now he's like randomly going after Bob Backlund. It doesn't fit with the character. It's hard because it's almost below Luger, right? Like, I feel like I don't know who would be different to come in here instead, but like, Backlund hasn't been elevated to that main event level. Maybe that's what they're trying to do, is give the rub to Backlund. Right, say, hey, right. He can go with, I'm guessing that's what they're saying, is he can go with Luger. So he should be able to go with Bretts, but it doesn't feel like he's been there yet. Like, he needs some more quality wins before he gets to Luger, is supposed to be your champion right now. Right. If he didn't F up, right. Luger was supposed to be your champion right now. So that's my opinion, but
yeah, just a weird like pairing, I guess. Like, I don't want Luger in this picture. I want it to keep progressing the way it's going. So I don't really like his involvement at all. And then we also get another Bob Holly squash after that. So kind of keeping him busy on TV just to keep a babyface getting work in, I guess.
Yep, and then we get, I put Bob Holly, and then I put dash nothing. Literally, there was nothing to write about it. It was just a match. And then we get IRS out next with Million Dollar Man. So it's kind of a guy that we've been saying, hey, is Million Dollar Man, is he in the stable or not?
Right.
But he comes out Million Dollar Man. He gets a promo where he says there's two things in the world that you can be sure of, taxes and death. And then he says he's going to expose the biggest tax cheat in the world, The Undertaker. Which I think is good, right? They're setting up that feud where we clearly know where that's going. Yep. So they're really making it out there. Definitely a cool idea, right, of like Tax Man going after the Dead Man. So I like that. Vince says an interesting thing where he says he's Million Dollar Man is putting together the greatest corporation or greatest faction of all time, which at this point looks pretty strong. I'm just going to list the guys. He's got IRS, a former tag team champion. He's got Bam Bam Bigelow, who's pretty over. Tatanka basically was in their intercontinental feud for all 93. Mm-hmm. And King Kong Bundy was main evented at WrestleMania. I know Nikolai sucks, but like, that's a pretty decent upper mid card, you know, type thing. They'll obviously all kind of fall apart, but like, just saying, like, right now the stable looks pretty strong, right? Compare that to some of, you know, Mr. Fuji's old stables and, you know, our guy Harvey Whippleman's garbage that he would bring out sometimes. Like, this actually does look like a pretty strong faction to start. I don't know if they're going to go that way, but I did kind of like that. And I think we've been shitting on DiBiase sometimes, just like, we know where it goes. But mm-hmm. I do think at this point in time, he looks pretty strong.
Yeah, so like, it is strong on paper, but I wish they had like a mission. You know, or like a singular feud that they were against, because like, I do like the parts, but the whole like isn't doing anything yet. So it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like a wait and see kind of thing, because Tatanka had his heel turn, but he really hasn't been elevated yet. IRS was better before the faction started, like with his walkout promos and that kind of thing. So I do like. Like you said, like on paper, you look at it, it is a good put together stable minus Nikolai. Just they're not really like involved in anything big enough yet, I guess.
Agreed. Yeah. But on paper, right? I was really strong. And it definitely looks strong compared to, you know, what we see at the end of the corporation.
Yeah.
Anything else? And then IRS also wins on a submission hold.
Yeah.
Anything else on?
No, we have a Heavenly Body squash.
Oh, yes.
Which, gold on gold is not a good look for them. That was like, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know if they ran out of gear or whatever. And then just to close out the show, Luger speaks on Backlund, saying he doesn't like what he sees and challenges him. So I guess we're going to get a Backlund-Luger matchup here.
Yeah, and they started bringing back up the Heavenly Bodies and Smoking Guns. We'll see Smoking Guns later, but they start talking up that feud. So at least they're doing something with that match. Should we move on?
Yes, sir.
So then we got our Superstars tape back on September 27th. So this is the 10/22 Superstars. We start off with Bob Holly versus Bob Backlund. sorry, too many Bobs. Bob Backlund versus Bob Holly. You know, something to elevate Bob Holly. They're really talking up at this point, Talon, for Backlund, his towel. Really, you know, really bring up how he had the, you know, he's carrying around the towel that he lost the title with. He still talks about how he was never thrown in the towel. I thought Bob Holly went pretty well with him. Backlund is a, you know, obviously a great amateur wrestler. I thought Bob Holly held his own with him, right? Mm-hmm. Was able to kind of keep up with him. It is kind of funny that they kind of talk about how old Bob Backlund is, that this is his last chance. He's 43 at this time, maybe 44. And I just compare that to like Sting, who just had his last match, like 57. Right. It's like we're only 30 years in between that. And like, the mass difference of like 10, 15 years, like that people are just in better shape. I'm guessing Backlund wasn't like a partier, and maybe he was, but he looks in good shape, but he just looks old compared to like, you know, some of these other guys that now, you know, Jericho's finally looking his age, but like, you know, a lot of these guys just still aren't in great shape.
The one that Conrad like mentions, AJ Styles, like he's
it's crazy. Yeah, they just don't look even. I mean, I think looks old. What was he like, 57 when he retired?
Yeah.
But like, he didn't look that bad, right? For
right,
and Backlund kind of looks like him now, right, at 43. But Backlund's in good shape. He just doesn't, you know, you could see the muscle tone on him, but he just looks old. They definitely bring that up too. But I thought it was a pretty solid match. And again, I think Bob Holly, for what we've seen so far, this is pretty impressive from him to stay with Backlund on this. My next point was, I would love to see Backlund go on. You know, he does the chicken wing to win the match, won't let it go. I put it, my next note was that I would love to see him go on a Sid run, the Sid type 92 run, where he just starts putting this on everyone. So maybe this is the start of it. But that would really put over the move, definitely put him over as crazy, and definitely put him over as elevating him. Because again, we have not seen a lot of Bob Holly. Like, I don't think he's been on pay per view yet. He's definitely a lower level guy. But I thought he held his own here, and you know, I think he's a guy that they use as a utility player in the next couple years before he becomes, you know, crazy,
right,
hardcore Holly. So.
Yeah, no, I'm really liking what I've seen from Holly. Like, I want them to keep using him. Kind of like, you know, 1-2-3 kids, same way.
Yes.
Like, you know, just show up and have a decent match. You need guys like that. So
yes.
And speaking of him, he actually does have the next squash, and the jobber in this match is Canyon. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Nope, I did not.
Yeah, that's Canyon. He has some weird looking tights. Like, he has a cut off sleeve on one. Kind of looks a little weird. I'm surprised he didn't get a look, because like if you look at him, he doesn't look like just one of these like schlubs out there. He's tanned, he's kind of jacked up, he's bumping crazy for Kid and selling really well. So I was surprised he didn't get a look. I know he goes on in a couple months to work for WCW, like Men at Work, I think was the tag team he was at first.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he must have just caught on with them first and stuck with them. So would have been in a different world, would have been interesting to see Canyon in the WWF that early on. We then get a King Kong Bundy squash. Not a fan at all of King Kong Bundy. Like, I've never liked Bundy. I don't know, he just looks so weird, and it takes me out of it. Like, his shoulders go right into
He definitely has a unique body shape, but I thought he actually looked good. So
it's a taste thing. I've never liked Bundy. I didn't like Bundy even in the feud with Hogan. I don't know. I can never. I think the look just takes me out of it. Like, he looks like Grimace or something. Like, I don't. Is it Grimace from McDonald's?
That
looks
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, it's also funny with him. It's like he's always looked the same.
Yeah,
I had a similar note. He's like, oh, he's looked that way in 82 and 85, 95. Like, he's always looked the same.
I mean, maybe, you know what it is too, is when he grinds his teeth together, like, that just it like makes my skin crawl because I feel it. Like, I don't know. Maybe he'll grow on me. Right.
We'll see. Probably not.
Yeah, you're probably right, because I have a preconceived notion not to like him. So, then we also get a Bulldog squash. Good to see him as well, and then a Tatanka squash, who I don't know, I just, he's like a dead character to me. Like, I don't really like, there's nothing he's doing that's exciting, like, at all. Like, he's not really in a feud of anything. He doesn't cut promos well, so there's just nothing there for him that I've been, you know, into at all. Like, the heel turn, it was cool to do it, but what are they doing with it? Like,
Nothing.
What can what can you say about Tatanka that's like you're looking forward to, you know?
Yeah, I also love that Bulldog also faced Wayne Gill, who's ridiculous with his mullet.
Right.
Which is every time I see him, I just laugh out loud because he just looks so ridiculous.
He does.
But I agree, Tatanka's kind of stuck. Like again, they like haven't really done much with Luger after the fact, so that could have been a big time feud with a big time blow off, and we just haven't seen that. And then we get the Heartbreak Hotel. Oh, I get this one. Thanks. That's how you sped through that Tatanka match.
Yep.
We get one of the worst segments I think I've ever seen. Yes. So we get Heartbreak Hotel, the pretty boy Shawn Michaels, and your future world champion, and they bring out Doink. It doesn't clash at all. It's just so off. And so Vince even says, I need a scorecard to keep track of what this is.
Yeah.
So he's even lost on this. And so we get Doink. They basically recap who's been brought out. And we get Dink, Wink, and now we get Pink, who's super tall. And so Doink's music just starts blaring over. So you can't hear what they're talking about. They keep running underneath the legs of Shawn and Diesel, like laughing in comedy gold, according to Vince. Mm-hmm. When I did make a note. Is like, did Hogan do this in the 80s? I can't actually remember because they had a bigger population of quote-unquote midgets back then. So I wouldn't be shocked if Hogan was in some of these, but it just looks ridiculous on this sexy boy couch that's supposed to be him picking up ladies, and there's these four clowns running around through their legs. Like, it just doesn't fit with the segment. And I know you can't have King's Court to do this, but, like, I don't know. Do it with Mean Gene or something. I don't know. Like, just it doesn't belong with Shawn and Diesel. And then, like I said, the audio was terrible. They must have either piped in Doink's music after the fact, and you just couldn't hear what the audio was, what they were talking about. So there must be something going on with the audio, but yeah, it was very rough. And you knew where it was coming, right? When the interview started, you just knew, okay, yep, here it comes.
And you know, like introducing Pink, little known fact, I don't know if you really know this about like this build, is that's actually the singer Pink as a child.
I did not know that.
I'm just kidding.
Pink's a little taller. Pink's a little taller, so it's growing.
So yeah, this thing has gotten like out of hand. Like Diesel tries to make like the weird looks, like, okay, what's going on here? These are your two like basically leaders of the new generation right now, leaders of the culture of what you want it to be, like cool, young, and then you have like literal clowns just walking around and looking crazy. Like it's just something that I don't want any wrestling fan that's like trying to get into wrestling to say, this is where I'm going to start, because you're never going to want to watch wrestling ever.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's rough.
So kudos to Diesel and Shawn for trying to make something out of it, but it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, they did not crap. They didn't really crap on it. I'll give them that. They could have really been like the segments below me, but they didn't. So I'll give them a positive of that.
Yeah. So we then
finish up the last matches just so we
We get the IRS promo again on the debt avoiding taxes, and we then get a smoking gun squash to end the show. So we haven't seen them as much often, so good to kind of see them in the mix a little bit again. So,
yeah, and then they talk about the Heavenly Bodies there, talk about them, they destroyed the wings, and that's the real feud coming up. So that was kind of it. And then they show next week's matches where, I don't know if you noticed, the Head Shrinkers, they still have a photo of them with Samu.
Yes.
So it's like, what is going on here? And then next week, there's like no feature matchup. It's all squashes. Now, again, maybe they're announced something later. But like the preview of what's happening next week, like where's the future matches? Like you got to have one a week, or at least like a big interview segment. They didn't even announce that. So like, it was really bland. And then I don't think we've had a Survivor Series promo Todd Palakin. Yeah, there's no build. I thought there was a good build because I think I'm thinking of the Backlund stuff so much. Like I remember that. I remember the Taker stuff, but like there's no announcements of like tag matches, not even like how to order online. So really weird that they're kind of missing the ball on that. And we'll see if it picks up the next week. But yeah, that was kind of disappointing. Anything else before we move on to the Action Zone?
Nope, I think we're good.
All right, good. So we're going to move on to Action Zone. So this, of course, was a new show. Was this replaced All American? Is that what it replaced? Yep. So yeah, so this was the Sunday, I think, on USA, Sunday morning ish on USA. So something different. Definitely try to give it a live feel.
Or did it replace Mania? Was it Mania or All American?
Mania was still on. Okay. I think LiveWire replaces Mania. I don't know when that starts, but yeah, I'm pretty sure LiveWire. Yeah, I think LiveWire. So I think All American. We'll just say it that.
You're probably right. Yep.
We'll just say that. All right. not starting on it. But so something different. They definitely try giving it a little different feel. They definitely bring, you know, like I said, a big match that's marquee, that's made for this. So rather than being kind of in studio, you know, if All American had different runs, but one of them was like, you know, Bobby and Gene going cross country, and they've tried different things with it, but this is going to be kind of similar to a Superstars. They're going to be at an arena. They're going to have matches for that to at least start. So we get the match that's been pumping up. Then we get Bret Hart and Owen Hart. So why don't you take us through that that match?
Yeah. So starting Action Zone, like I said, I was definitely watching as a kid at this time. I don't remember the theme music being this trash. For Action Zone, like this was just not a good theme to me. Charlie Mint is the host.
Yes.
Definitely didn't remember that as well. And then you have Vince and Todd on commentary, which is interesting. So that just kind of sets the table here. We get Owen versus Bret, and this is told to us that it's Owen's last title shot. So he puts a little extra in the match here. And, you know, these two just gel so easily. I love it. I love the, like, you can just throw these two together right now, especially with all that's been built. And there's always, like, it seems like it always has high stakes to the match. And then you get Bulldog and Neidhart kind of come out to play the seconds for each as well. So
yes,
a little bit of storytelling there. Owen brings the intensity a lot here, playing, like, what I love about that, like, not only does it show, like, Owen's dire need to win the match because it's his last shot, but it also lets Bret play to his, like, best strength, which is being, like, the face in peril. So, I Bret sells exhaustion so well. He sells great. I love when the heel can be on top and Bret's kind of fighting from underneath. So, that's great. Bret starts firing back with, like, these really good uppercuts, too. Like, I haven't really seen that out of Bret much lately. So, that was a good little piece of offense that he had. And that kind of led into Owen reversing and then whipping him into that buckle spot with his sternum first, which this one was brutal looking. Like, he just rammed right into it, and that's another signature spot of Bret that I love.
It's also weird that no one else has ever taken that move.
Like, I know.
Bret does it so well, and I imagine couldn't hurt too much because he does it every match.
Right. Well, that is weird that maybe someone's done it like a one-off or nothing, but no one does as a signature spot. And yeah, maybe it's just like the angle he knew how to take it that people really couldn't replicate it. I guess you got to figure somebody could do it, right?
Like, yeah, because it gets the ooze and ahs every time.
Right.
And it looks menacing. Like, even if it doesn't hurt, it looks like it does.
Well, it, like, shakes the ring almost, too. It's
right.
So, like, it's so hard.
Yeah, makes a noise. Yep.
Yep. I love it. So that leads to Anvil come over and, like, slams Bret's leg into the post. And, you know, Owen kind of goes to the top then, like, he's about to come off the top, which then leads Bulldog to come over and push Owen off. And Bret then covers with the win. So that was kind of a weird finish to, like, it really makes me think that Vince, like, you know, was never really the Owen guy. Like, it was more like Jerry Jarrett, and just the way they almost, like, bury Owen here with that finish. Like, I don't know. It wasn't, like, a good put away. Like, you'd like to see, if it was his last title shot, you'd like to see something more convincing, I think, to put Owen away. And it just didn't feel like it. Like, the match itself was very good, but the finish, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were trying to really set up that, like, Bulldog and Anvil and Owen and Bret are all in the same type level, with Bret being a little above. Like, I think they were trying, because I think that's where we're going to go a little bit with Survivor Series, right? With, you know, Bulldog and Owen kind of going in a feud and Anvil being involved in the towel match, mm-hmm. right? So I guess that's what they were trying to do, and then make Bret a little bit above that. Like, and I think decisively, hey, this is Owen's last chance. Like, Bret's king, right? It's just weird they go on with that storyline. It feels like that would be the end of Bret and Owen, but obviously we know that lasts for another, whatever, 4 years. Like, it feels like this is the end of it, but it's
just all that they've built. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like Brett should have. I don't know. Something should have. It should have been a bigger finish. Yeah. Just for now, he just got pushed off the top. You know?
Now, isn't there? And this is where I forget myself. What isn't there a match where Owen actually wins the title on a false finish? Is that true somewhere or something?
So they have a no holds barred match on Raw. No, but Brett wasn't the champion then.
Okay.
I don't know. It might have been a house match or something.
Oh yeah.
I've heard of that story before.
It feels like that one might have been the better ending here. Like right. Owen getting the fake title. No, right. You know, Anvil cheated. Bulldog caught him. Like, and then go that. Like I said,
if you're playing the last title matchup.
Yeah.
Like that. That should have been the case. But yeah, it was just weird. I don't know. I wasn't into the finish. I thought it was a really good match. Like the match itself. Like the finish didn't kill it for me. It's just I didn't expect the finish to be that weak, I guess.
All right, and then we get Brett afterwards, right? Just a quick inset promo with talking about Backlund and he's got other challengers in front of him. So good stuff there. I like the match. I think it's solid. The two guys can go, like you said, and Brett's just an in-ring general that you love. And then we get the in-ring generals of the Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey next. So standard squash. Again, just real quickly talking about the smoking guns. It's weird they're on second, right, of this program, this new one that you're trying to really build up, and you get the Heavenly Bodies, and they're just on a team that's just over. Like, no, whatever reason, as much as we love the Gigolo, like back then, just no one cared about them.
Right.
So kind of interesting they would bring that team in there. You know, bring the Bushwhackers in, right? You're trying to get a new show over, bring someone with a little bit more fire and heat than the Heavenly Bodies. So, and then we get guy that brings all the heat, your boy Tatanka next, in a quick squash match, really putting over, you know, the corporation. That match was really just, hey, let's talk about Million Dollar Man as the top manager, and the corporation he's building. So nothing too much there, on that quick squash, but you know, from a hot start, all of a sudden you get kind of two, definitely Heavenly Bodies are down, but then, you know, Tatanka's kind of been okay. You know, he's definitely mid card, but for this supposed to be hot new program, this is kind of, you know, really kind of gone back into just standard wrestling challenge or superstars of squashes. Nothing really happening.
Yeah. For like to call it the action zone, like they should have thrown something else in there. Like they should have had either more backstage segments with the wrestlers, like some altercation backstage or something, or showing them, I don't know, out of the ring doing something different, but yeah, it ends with a Adam Bomb squash and Undertaker
five
squash.
Five stars.
Right. Well, Adam Bomb was actually pretty over. I'm liking him as a babyface, but
yeah,
just for
the but it's
show,
a squash. Yeah.
It ends in it has the good Bret Owen match, then it ends in four straight squashes. Like it's like what you get that in Superstars, you'll have a feature match and then everything else is squashes. So.
And I'm okay with, you know, either Adam Bomb or, you know, and Taker's a specialty, so they make that a big deal. Like, you're going to see Taker. So right. I'm okay with, like, the squash of Undertaker, but I think the Heavenly Bodies and Tatanka, like, something should have happened there, right? Like, have the smoking comes out, guns come out, have Bushwhackers beat or face Heavenly Bodies. Like, something just a little bit more, because just neither of those guys is doing anything. And Adam Bomb, where's his buddy Mabel? Like, they saw him together one time, and it's just like, Adam Bomb has nothing going on with him, so... Kind of disappointing ending. I mean, I think at the time, the Undertaker being on TV was something real cool, right? So I think, like, if you're watching this, like, that was the marquee. Was like, okay, right. We have this awesome title match, and then you get to see Taker fight. So I could see how they drew it in, but just that middle part, just for the first episode, and like you said, calling it Action Zone, maybe is a little bit of overstatement.
All right.
And then they do announce that there will be the big tag team match. So we're going to watch at least, we're going to try next week as well.
Because
the main event was so good, and the Taker squash is really solid. Like his match was like 7 minutes long.
Like, between fits in the new gen. So yeah.
And Taker's match was like over the Taker's match was like over the top, right? He had the long entrance, he didn't put the guy in the body bag, but it kind of looked like he was going to. So that was pretty cool too. Just something you normally don't see. You know, like we said, he's been missing from Superstars. So,
right.
Next we get a tag team match. I don't know if you said it, but we got Razor and Kid for Shawn and Diesel. So pretty cool match. The click tag. Yep. So pretty cool match that they announced on paper, and I've definitely watched. It's a pretty solid, really solid match. So really excited about that match. Next week. Yep. So I really like the Brett and Owen thing. I think they both that was a really good match. It was just okay, got this hot new program. We could use a little bit more juice at the end of it. So
yeah.
Anything else to add?
No, I agree.
All right, let's roll on to awards. Most new gen outfits.
There wasn't too many crazy outfits here. I guess I mentioned it earlier and it kind of stood out to me. I'm just going to go with Canyon's outfit.
Okay.
Being a jobber, he kind of looked a little, played the part a little bit. So
yeah, I'm actually going to go 1-2-3 kid. Actually, I missed this in my notes to talk about, but he's got like a new outfit. It's less neon-y. I think it makes him look a little better. It's a guy that we feel like we haven't seen a lot lately. And I wish he had more feuds. Like, God, he was so good when we see him in some of these matches. And really a guy that I've learned to appreciate a lot more during this run. I just wish he was used more. Like, I think he's so over. So, but he's got like a new, less gimmicky outfit.
Right.
Most new gen performer.
I'm actually going to go with Sean and Diesel. I feel like they, you know, played their part, like, both as looking as a tag unit and then on the Heartbreak Hotels, they kind of held it together a little bit instead of just shitting on it like they could have. So
yeah, that was good of them. I'm going to go Bulldog. Nice. I think he's a guy that is really going to hold the next couple years of main events. Mm-hmm. And upper mid card tag team division even. So, you know, really, they really establish him throughout these couple of segments. Worst match or segments?
I think that, you know, even though they held it together, I would go with the Heartbreak Hotel with all the clowns and the visual of it just didn't fit. It didn't work for me.
I'll go the other one, the introduction of Sleazy, considering that I'm pretty sure King calls him the wrong name, but
right.
Best match or segments?
Brett Owen. Like it wasn't their best stuff per se, but you know,
yeah,
standing out amongst all the squashes and everything, especially, I'll go with that.
Yeah, that was good. The Backlund Arnold Skolin thing was good. I thought the Backlund Bob Holly match was pretty good, but I think the Brett Owens just for in ring and for storyline and intrigue was definitely the best. So I think we'll tie there. So on that one, anyone stock up?
Bob Holly. I feel like he's becoming like a mid card staple. Just seeing him out there, you know, repeatedly and still putting on solid matches. I'm gonna go with him.
Let me see. We've been going Backlund so much, so I don't want to go. I'm gonna go Million Dollar Man. I just thought you had a lot of segments. I thought the Vince's comment about how he's building up the corporation. I know on paper it just looks so strong, so I'll go with him. Just given how many segments he has, they're not really doing much, but I think building up the corporation's been good. Better than I remember it.
Right.
And then I went stock down.
Charlie, man, get him out. Yeah, I'm down.
It's
negative stock.
I'm gonna go Wink.
There you go.
Well, I'm not sure which one that is, but we'll go Wink.
Right.
Vince doesn't know either, so I don't.
Exactly.
But just that whole thing. I like I said, I think they could have done like the mixed tag match they did Mania 10 because we know Dink's a good wrestler. Again, I don't know if these other guys aren't good wrestlers, but it's turned into over the top comedy. And it feels like it's just a joke for Vince, like more than anything. Right. So, all right. So next week we'll go on just a couple more Raws and Superstars. We'll fill the action zone with that hot tag match as well. And then hopefully we start getting some Survivor Series build up. It'd be really nice to really start talking about the Survivor Series and setting up these matches. I think they kind of have some build there. You can kind of see where, if you know we know the end, you kind of can kind of see it. But right, it's just not clear as day, so it'll be interesting to see when they start announcing matches and see if it all makes sense the last month before the pay-per-view. It's pretty much, should be like November 20th or something, so we got a month left to kind of get this.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of build, especially with the team matches and stuff, so.
Yeah. Hopefully we get that coming next week. So thanks, everyone, for listening, rating, and reviewing, and we'll see you next time.
All right.